Hallelujah, hallelujah. Keep your hands to the Lord and just ask the Lord, Lord, here I am. My ears are open. My heart is open. I'm receptive to what you have to speak to me this morning. Here I am, O Lord. Use me, Lord. Use my hand to bless other people. Use my mouth to comfort other people. Use my body to serve other people. Lord, here I am, Father. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Father, we thank you for this wonderful time and the fellowship and your presence. That is so sweet to us, Lord. We bless you because you are a mighty God. You are a faithful God. You are faithful to your promises. I pray that you may speak to us, Father, Lord. I pray for everybody this morning, Lord, who has given out of what they have to the kingdom of God. I pray that you, for every dollar that they have put into this bag, Lord, give them a thousandfold blessings back, Father. Father, this is the best investment that they can ever do in their lives. And I pray that you bless them and all their needs, Father. You take care of them, oh Father. Speak to us from your word this morning. I thank you, Jesus, for your goodness. In Jesus' name I pray.
Amen.
Amen. As we are standing, I would like you to, as we are in God's presence, I want you to turn your Bible to the Gospel of Matthew chapter 6. Gospel of Matthew chapter 6. We are going to read a few verses. I am speaking on the series called Transformed. Transformed. We need to get transformed the way God wants us to. And our title is My Life in God's Kingdom. Transform My Life is in God's Kingdom. Turn with me to Matthew chapter 6. The Gospel of Matthew chapter 6. We are going to read the first 8 verses of Matthew chapter 6 and then take a break and jump up to verse number 16 to 18. And we are going to look into the topic, Transformed by My Heartfelt Worship. When we worship the Lord from our heart, God changes us from inside out. And that is what Jesus spoke. These are the words of Jesus. So I want us to follow in your Bibles as I'm reading from mine. Matthew chapter 6 verses 1 to 8. And this is what Jesus said. Some portions, when I say I want you to repeat with me, okay? So there are a few portions in this reading. I want you to repeat with me to emphasize what Jesus said. Take heed that you do not do your charitable deeds before men to be seen by them. Otherwise, you have no reward from your Father in heaven. Therefore, when you do a charitable deed, can you repeat after me? When you do a charitable deed, do not sound a trumpet before you as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may have glory from men. Assuredly, I say to you, they have the reward. But this is the only portion I would like you to speak after me. When you do a charitable deed. Okay, thank you. Do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, that your charitable deed may be in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will himself reward you openly. We come to verse number 5, to another topic. And when you pray, can you repeat after me? When you pray. Okay, you shall not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the corners of the streets, that they may be seen by men. Assuredly, I say to you, they will have the reward. But you, when you pray, can you repeat after me? When you pray. Okay, go into your room, and when you have shut your door, pray to your Father who is in secret place, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you openly. Verse number 7. And when you pray, can you tell me, repeat after me? When you pray, do not use vain repetitions as the heathen do, for they think that they will be heard for their many words. Therefore, do not be like them, For your Father knows the things that you have in need before you ask Him. Now we'll jump down to verse number 16. We come to the third topic that Jesus is speaking about. Moreover, when you fast, can you repeat after me? When you fast, do not be like the hypocrites with a sad countenance, for they disfigure their faces that they may appear to men to be fasting. Assuredly, I say to you, they have the reward. But you, again, when you fast, can you repeat? When you fast, anoint your head and wash your face, so that you do not appear to men to be fasting, but to your Father who is in secret place. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you openly. Praise God.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Three topics, and I ask you to repeat a little bit of when Jesus said, He said, there is a particular word that really interested me, that kind of, I stopped and I looked again, and is it true? It says when, it says the word when, it doesn't say if. If you fast, if you feel like, if you give, if you pray, it doesn't say, Jesus does not say if. Every word that Jesus used is very, very important. Jesus said, when you give, when you pray, and when you fast. Now this morning I want to speak about this, a part of our worship, and when we do it with our heart, God is going to reward us. Please be seated in God's presence. Last Sunday we started on the topic called Transformed, My Life in God's Kingdom. We looked into the topic of what is true worship, about the six elements that identified true worship from the vision that God gave to prophet Isaiah, that was described in Isaiah chapter 6. And we learned that in order to truly worship God, our inherent pride has to die totally. And we looked into the fact that the year King Uzziah died, Isaiah saw the vision. So before even we come into God's presence, number one, what it says, when you enter into the main door of the church, put your pride there. Just tell it to take a rest and come in. Okay, don't let it bring pride with you. Because God says when you bring pride, you are not going to, He's not going to be happy. He doesn't like proud people. The first one was Lucifer, and everyone after that who followed God punished them. Today, if you stand before God and show a pride, He says, hey, I'm going to put you down. If you are proud, I'm going to put you down. If you are humble, I will exalt you. That is the path of God. So we have to let go of our pride when we come to worship. Now, prophet Isaiah's life was never the same after he saw the vision of God's glory. First, he saw his own sin, and then he saw the sins of his people of Israel. And at the climax of the call of God, God said, whom shall I send? He asked a question probably to everybody, including the seraphims, including the angels, including whoever were there in the heavenly realm. He asked a question, who shall I send? Who will go for me? Right away, without even waiting for a blink, Isaiah said, Lord, here I am, send me. He volunteered to do the work of God. And so Isaiah answered the call of God to be a spokesman. And so when we come to the New Testament, Jesus came and He's setting the stage of how we can truly worship God. Worshipping God is not just a time when we lift our hands and sing. That is not the only time we are worshipping God. Many times we have condensed worship to a particular part of a Sunday morning worship time. But I'm telling you, we worship God in many different ways. We worship God when we give God out of what we have for the kingdom of God. We worship God when we are doing many things. And here we see that according to the Lord Jesus Christ, giving, praying, and fasting are discipline of personal worship. Giving, praying, and fasting are discipline of personal worship. So today, we will examine the words of Jesus and try to understand what constitutes true worship. What is the true worship that Jesus is talking about? One of the first things, let me tell you, is that true worship must come from our heart. God does not care how loudly we sing if our heart is far away from us.
Amen.
God does not care how beautifully or what words you use or what kind of act this you are showing. It should come from our heart. God looks at our heart. Man looks at the outside, but God looks at our heart. So true worship, as you see, should come from our heart. True worship, if you do not worship God truly from the heart, I'm telling you, God will not be pleased with your worship today. And so we have to understand that giving, praying and fasting are acts of personal worship. When we truly worship God, we do all these things and they must be from the heart. Let me call upon you, and I'm going to give three calls today. The first one is a call for heartfelt generosity. Matthew chapter 6 verses 1 to 4. Jesus speaks about giving. Giving out of what? Giving out of what we have. Giving for what? When we understand, giving is what we have, not what we do not have. That is why I've told many times, even in my family, to my children, don't give money to the church out of your credit card. Don't do that. That is not your money. That is the bank's money, or that is the credit card company Visa's money. Don't give money that it's not yours. Give from what you have to the Lord. Not only money, we can give time to God. We can give our talent to God. We can give our treasures to God. And what when we do, we give it out of humility. We should be humble and we should not be proud when we do something for God's kingdom. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We should do it with humility. Do you know who was the greatest giver? God was the greatest giver. Because He gave His one and only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish but have everlasting. He gave. God gave. John 3:16 is the greatest verse in the Bible because it shows God gave His best for us. Hallelujah. And so we are trying to replicate God. So many times people are very generous in giving, but they make a big show of that. Here when we see here, in verse number 2, chapter 6, verse number 2, Jesus says, when you give, do not sound a trumpet. Which means that after you give, make a big noise for people to understand. Do not, which means that don't call attention to yourself when you give for God. Many people give to charities and they declare it publicly, okay, I'm giving this much money. And they make a big show of it for what? So that people will say, oh, you are a great guy. You have given out of this much money to the Lord. Let me tell you that we have to be very careful that we do not get the reward in here only when we do something for God. Because God is the one who says, I am the one, I am your reward, and I will give you what you need. Hallelujah. Jesus here He wants that when you do that, in verse number 2, the last part, He says, those people already get the reward. So nothing is remaining for them afterwards. God does not reward them when they sound a trumpet. But when you do a charitable deed, it says, let not your left hand know what your right hand, which means that, you know, just do it with the right motive. Our giving should be discreet. And public giving is not wrong, but when we are trying to attract and it is not with the right motive, that is a problem, because we are trying to glorify ourselves and not God. And let me tell you, God will never share His glory with anybody. And so, what Jesus says, that when we give out of what we have, God will reward us. Father will see us in secret, but He will reward us openly. Your Father who sees you in secret will reward us openly. One of the greatest surprises I believe one day we will have is when we all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. Many of the people that we think should get the greatest reward, they may be in the back of the line. Because God will see people who have not announced, their names are never there, but they do so much for God. How many of you agree with me? Hallelujah. Let us do cheerfully. Let us give cheerfully. Let us do our best for the Lord. 1 Timothy, as it says, we must take care with the right motives. And 1 Timothy chapter 6, verses 17 to 19, there's a command to the rich people that you should do good, you should be ready to give, you should be willing to share to the rich. The first century church in Jerusalem was the greatest example of giving, because people shared everything with those who did not. The haves and the have-nots, they all became on equal playing ground because everybody shared and they were all willing to give out liberally to each other. And let me tell you that we need to understand that we have to give from the heart. That is a type of worship. Dear brothers and sisters, some of us are very stingy. I'll be honest with you, we are very stingy. We don't give out of our love to other people. Whatever we do, we only do for ourselves. We work for ourselves, we enjoy ourselves with the money we have. We never bother to do something beyond us and our thing. But there are people who give and who are willing to share, who do the work of God, and God really blesses them. Amen.
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 So, my desire is that we give to God and give to other people from what we have. The second call is a call for our heartfelt prayer. Jesus here categorizes two things, and I want to just quickly mention. We should be different from the hypocrites. Jesus says two people. One, do not be like the hypocrites. Verse number 5. And then in verse number 7. So the first is we should be different from hypocrites. Who is a hypocrite? Who is an actor? Some people act during praying. They pray long prayers and they show that they are praying, but they don't mean what they pray. Instead of praying and acting, we should pray in a place where we are not distracted. Number 2, when we come to verse number 7, chapter 6, number 7, we should be different from the heathen. Don't be like the hypocrites who try to act. Don't be like the heathen who try to repeat prayers and try to think God is deaf. Let me tell it 10 times that he can hear. Don't be like the hypocrites. Don't be like the heathen. And how it closes is that Jesus says, verse number 8, do not be like them, for your Father knows the things that you have need before you ask him. But you should pray. Your Father knows what you need. And you should pray out of a heart. Today I'll give you something that you may have heard before, but I really liked it. We should pray using our hands as a praying model. I'll give you a model for prayer. And this I really liked it, so I thought I will share with the church and maybe you can pray when you pray. So basically what you're doing is you're using your both the hands as a praying model. Think about your left hand, who you should pray for, and your right hand as what you should pray for. Think about it. So you have two hands. Think about your left hand, who you should pray for, and the right hand, what you should pray for. Now when you look at the left hand, the first one is the thumb. The thumb is my physical family. Because when you put your hand together, your thumb is closest to your heart. So when you look at the thumb, you pray for your family, your church family, your close friends. Pray for them. Number 2 is the forefinger. And so this forefinger shows people who are pointing the way for you. So pray for those who are guiding you, who are teaching you, who are correcting you. For example, pray for your pastor. Pray for your teacher. Pray for your boss. Pray for your supervisor. So this hand shows people who are correcting and guiding you. The third, the middle finger, is the tallest finger. And we should pray for those people in influence. That represents people who are in influence, like the politicians. Like Donald Trump, who is going to take his oath and become the president on the 20th. Pray for the politicians, for the judges, for the sports stars, for people who can make an influence worldwide. The fourth one, which is the weakest finger, it's called the ring finger or the weakest finger. This represents the weakest part of our society. So pray for the elderly, the widows, the orphans, the sick, the poor people. That's what you should pray for. And number 3, the little finger at the very end, this is me. After you pray for everybody else, then you should pray for yourself. This is the last thing you should pray for. Many times it reverses. We pray for us, pray for us, pray for us, pray for us, pray for us. Then there's no time to pray for anybody else. Because all the time we are praying for me, my father, my dad, my mom, my children. No. This should be the last thing you should pray for. The right hand will show what we should pray for. The first one, the thumb, which is pointing to my heart, pray for those who are dear and near to your heart. The forefinger, pray for direction in your life. Pray that God will direct you to the things that you should do and also make you aware of the things you should not do. The middle finger is you should pray that, Lord, make me a positive influence in the lives of the people. With my family, with my friends, in my church, make me a positive influence. Make me a blessing in the life of other people. The ring finger, which is basically concerning with marriage, pray for your spouse. You need to pray for each other, husband and wife. And finally, the little finger, pray for me, the material blessings, like the prayer of Jabez. He prayed, Lord, that you bless me indeed and enlarge my territory. We need to pray. So the fivefold fingers, if you see, if you can take this as like a model for prayer, this can cover everything that you can pray for. And I tell you, if you turn this like this, it changes into a heart of prayer. And that is the heart that God requires from you. Every day, if you can pray, at least they say 5 minutes it will take for you to pray each time. You can pray 3 times a day, morning, afternoon, and evening. I'm telling you, God will really bless every part of your life. Praise the Lord. Amen. How many of you like the praise the Lord? I'm glad some of you liked it. I'm glad about that. The third one, okay, now we come to the third part. It is Jesus not only tells us to pray, not only to give, not only to pray, but he also tells us to fast. For the last 15 days, we have been fasting. And I'm glad for those who joined in fasting, and I praise God for that. I've heard about a diet program, and this is a little funny, but let me mention. They say a good diet program, and for all of us, think about this. They say that in the morning breakfast, Brother Finney, this like maybe you can use this as a model. Morning, eat like a king, which means that eat whatever you want. Let Sister Gliney make everything that you want, make a full plate, eat nicely, eat like a king. During the afternoon lunch, you eat like a prince. Not our prince, but like a prince. Make some restrictions in eating. Don't eat everything, but something. Make a restrictions in eating. But for the evening dinner, they say that eat like a pauper, a poor man. Don't eat very meager foods. Eat only salads or some juice. That is a good diet. They say that. I've never tested that, but they say. I've heard. But what happens is that morning you eat like a king. Afternoon, many times we eat like a prince. But when it comes time for the dinner, we remember that we are the child of the king and we think like a king. And we again eat like a king. So when we eat like a king and go to sleep, we bulge and we have no proportion. And so, but Jesus said, okay, good. It's good to eat. But also, Jesus said that we need to fast. Not to reduce our weight, but to get closer to God. I'm telling you, fasting, Jesus did not say if you fast. He said when you fast. Fasting is a discipline that we need to follow. Do we need to get fast? Now, the question, now the three questions that I want to ask you regarding fasting. One, the first question, do we need to fast to get right with God? No, you don't need to. Because Romans 3:24 says that we have been justified freely by the grace of God. 1 John chapter 2 verses 1 and 2 says that we have an advocate. You don't need to fast. So the next question is why you should fast. Very quickly, let me tell you. Prayer and fasting should go together. Don't just fast and do your entire work. When you fast, you should pray. Sometimes when you fast and then you work, it becomes very difficult. You should fast and when you pray. There are 5 things that I can quickly mention. One, it shows we are serious about God. It shows that prayer says, God, I need you. Fasting says, God, I need you more than even my food. I need you more than that. And that's why you fast. Number 2, it helps us to seek the will of God. When you sit in fasting, God reveals his plan in your life. For a good example is the church in Antioch. In Acts chapter 13, where they fasted and prayed and God revealed, said, separate to me Barnabas and Saul for the ministry. And God revealed his will when they fasted and prayed. Number 3 is that it helps us to get cleansed from our sins. When we remove some of our bad habits and come before God, God will cleanse us. Number 4, it helps to understand God's guidance. He will guide us through and through. And finally, it protects us with God's special protection. So, how should we fast? As we already read, I don't want to make too much of it. He says, do it. How should we fast? Do it secretly, that nobody knows that you're fasting. So today, as I'm closing this message here, I want to conclude and say, when we come to worship, we need to understand that God wants us to worship Him, and God should feel that He's that you are worshiping. So the question is, does God feel that He has been worshipped by you? You see, Jesus demands our all in worship. It's an act of giving ourselves to God for His service. So we need to, the true worship is an act of giving ourselves to God. We need to be transformed. We need to put ourselves in the altar as a living sacrifice. Romans chapter 2 verse 2 says that, do not conform any longer in the pattern of this world. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. So this morning I want to ask a question to you. Can we truly worship God by surrendering Him to Him today? And let me pray. I'm praying that God will transform us and that we will surrender. That we will give the way God wants us to give. That we will pray the way God wants us to pray. And we will fast the way God wants us to fast. Let God transform us. Can we all just stand up on our feet? As we're going to close with a word of with a song that speaks about that God is a good shepherd. Jesus is a shepherd. He is the shepherd of our soul. And let us remember that God can transform us when we follow up.